Hi, I'm Tom.
Hi, Mario.
This is Day Jobs. This is a radio podcast we're starting about two moderately intelligent college persons and are the jobs we do to pay for college, specifically an art major. We're both acting majors.
It's not the best plan, but it's what we got.
It's better than being homeless, which will be our future, most likely.
Yeah, that's after we graduate. Right. But, well, in school, I get to live somewhere, at least.
So, we thought it'd be interesting to talk about something just very unspoken, which is the college summer job, or a job you have during college.
Yeah. There's something that everyone just kind of has. They're just like, yeah, I got this job. I do. It's pointless, but I do it.
Right, and it's
something along those lines.
And you hear the complaints, and we thought it was just funny how we kept talking about this job, even when we're not there.
Yeah, it's just kind of all-pervading.
Yeah, it's just eats up our lives. So, Ariel and I work at a distribution warehouse. We won't disclose the name or anything. But we work at a distribution warehouse, and it's a summer job through a summer program through a third-party hiring company, and we basically move boxes.
Yeah,
for 40 hours a week
or more.
Or more.
I'm a professional at moving boxes.
These distribution centers basically are the places that this company makes a thing, and they send it to a center, and then that center sends it to.
So there's stores. Probably things made in different factories for different types of products, and then they send all of those things one place to a third party within a company, and that one place does nothing except eat money and ship out the stuff the way that the people want it.
Instead, we think it's a scam. Like, we think it's a big, just fucking scam, which maybe, very well might be. And so is the third party hiring company. Yeah,
that's a scam too.
Think about it. It's a company that hires for another company.
Yeah. So instead of filling out all those job applications on one website, you can fill it out on three different websites, including the resume builder website where you paid $7 to print a nice looking version of your resume.
It's unbelievable. It's stupid and dumb.
Yeah.
So, we're just going to talk about stories. This will probably be a once a week thing. We'll do it every Friday, and we'll probably be posting on the subsequent Saturday or Sunday. So, we pick boxes all day, okay? Now, we get fucking bored. It's boring.
It's pretty, and you don't, like, people talk to each other, but you shouldn't. Like, they don't want you to talk because they measure how well you're doing on this little productivity thing by this big, dumb computer system.
Yeah. That just judges you.
That, just sends numbers being like, oh, I think you should have picked that up faster. And, like...
With the proper lifting techniques.
With the proper lifting techniques.
You could pick that at least 45% faster.
They skipped it in my training. I've never taken one of the required courses to work there because they figured this skinny white girl can already look like she lifts pretty hard.
Yeah, she looks competent enough to handle heavy machinery.
Yeah.
So I'll give her the job.
She wasn't high for like a month before she applied here. So... She seems clean.
She has eyes, ears, and knows her directions pretty well. And left and right is pretty good.
Between a triangle and a circle. These were all actual tests administered.
They were actual tests. Yeah. Those are four real tests.
That I had to retake, by the way. In case a year later I just had got hit by a bus and had a brain transplant.
So... Yeah, we were just talking about, at work there are people who take the boxes that we're picking, and there are, like, these big giant shelves where all the boxes are, and they would take the shelf in this specific location, or they would take the boxes, and they'd fashion the boxes into, like, a mini Stonehenge, or a person, or a couch,
robot.
Or a robot.
Or chairs. There was one of the administrative guys that came up to me, and he's like, people have been building stuff out of the boxes in the warehouse. Like, I hear that someone's been distributing child pornography in the warehouse.
Yeah, it was like equated yeah. to a really horrible...
Like vandalism.
And that's what they called it. They sat us down for a fucking meeting. And they're like, all right, you guys can't vandalize these boxes. They're our customers' boxes. You can't do that. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, we can't like, stack them in a creative way. Why not? Like, it's vandalism.
And it's wasting time. And it's hurting your productivity.
It's wasting time. Time is money. Yeah,
there was one of the old-timers who just raised his hand, and he was like, can we see him? He was like, there's photographs of the incident. He was just like, can we see the pictures? And they were like, the photographs will not be released to you. We don't want to give anyone ideas. Yeah. And then in a later meeting, one of the higher-up managers showed a picture of
exactly what it looked like. And I think he followed it up with a YouTube instructional video of him like, all right, I know there's been some vandalism here at this company. It looks a little like this. And then Benny Hill, and then he makes a robot out of boxes.
Yeah.
So I see these all over the warehouse. Still, even
I
after...
I haven't seen any of them. I'm so
Even
upset.
After the meeting, I still see these little setups. And it inspired us to do a
inspired
little something.
Me. Inspired me. This is my idea. Okay.
So this is an inspired Ariel, but I'm joining on this bandwagon. You can explain it.
Okay. So in the locations that we have, sometimes, you know, the boxes can get knocked around or whatever, and they had the flow racks, and then there's a bar that's perpendicular to the floor.
Sure, yeah, it's perpendicular.
Perpendicular to the floor, and then there's another bar that goes in a diagonal and connects to hold up the other parts of the rack.
It's like a part of a shelf. Yeah. You know, it's just this 45-degree angle.
I noticed that sometimes the boxes would stick in there, and then you'd, like, bat it out, or, like, you drive up, and you're like, the box is stuck in there. Like, you can scan it sometimes. And then
it's kind of a creative place to keep a box while you're moving other boxes because it fits perfectly.
Any of the sizes, they all just stick in there.
Yeah.
So sometimes I would put a damaged box there. We're supposed to like scan it out, but I'm busy, so I'm like, "Fuck this box!"
go in the designated corner. Get in your corner.
And then one time when I left a location, I just put the box there, and then I was like, "Huh?" And then I just left it.
Right, so
then I drove back and I was like, "Hey, I've been here before because I can't remember." I was like, "My box is still there."
So we're gonna try and see how many people we can get to do this very thing.
Or if we can get a supervisor to comment on it in a meeting, I think I might lose myself. I think I might run screaming out of the building. That's what terrifies me about this idea.
Is that all just
because I'm not a rule breaker at all? I hate getting caught. I always want to be good.
We're hoping this is innocuous enough to to have no one really notice, but still kind of notice on a subconscious level.
What?
Like, God, I've been seeing a lot of these boxes.
Who's doing that?
Yeah. Because as far as we can tell, it doesn't impede any of the work. So
we have to make sure that no one sees us doing it.
Yes, it has to be like a phantom.
Yeah. Smoke bomb! Batman horn is out of there!
Like we're fucking vigilante box putters.
Yeah.
Like, oh, get this. I stalk the knights and I put boxes in corners that fit perfectly. Yeah, if I said that to a wife I might have in the future, she might divorce me right there. I have a secret to share with you.
That's maybe why we
should. The Phantom Box Putter.
We should post this and tell people that this is how fucking miserable our jobs are.
It's not that miserable.
It's
just
not,
fucking 8 hours of picking up boxes.
I've done 12s.
She's done 12. Our whole last week was tens.
Yeah.
10-hour days, including Saturday. Granted, Saturday was like a half a day. But still, that is just insane. And that's because at the end of, like, you know, these periods during the company, they get an influx of orders, so they you know, make us do overtime.
For, like, bank statements or, you know, business stuff that
school
I don't
supplies.
Know about because I'm an acting major. I don't need to know about business stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to be too poor to manage any money.
Yeah. But, yeah, this it's a crazy job. And they treat their employees well. So I can say that about this particular company. They do treat their employees fair, I would say. Yeah. For what you're doing.
They're well taken care of.
There are people who work there who've been there for 40 fucking years. For 40 years!
And they have a retirement plan.
Yeah.
Through so when they retire, they're fucking loaded. Like, there's people...
And there's insurance plans for them. Yeah. There's, benefits.
Paid.
Dental, I'm sure.
Yeah. Paid leaves, sick leaves, paid pregnancy, like, time
this,
off.
Yeah. These distribution centers are the unsung places of the United States.
Yeah.
Because they're right in the breadbasket, because there's nothing here. So, we're in the Midwest, so there's just nothing here.
Yeah, they're like, flat. I just need like, you know, six gigantic buildings here to hold all my boxes.
I need a 45,000 foot square footage. I need that for a room.
I need with to shelves. Support at least 200 middle class families, okay?
I wonder if that was their mission
We're
statement.
We're talking 2.5 kids, okay? College.
I got a college. I got a stepdaughter we adopted, so.
All college.
My God.
Yeah, there's some of the younger people who work there, and they drive up and they fucking tell you, like, yeah, I didn't go to college, I just started working here, but I've just paid off my car, and I'm paying off my house, and when I'm 40, I can retire and never
That's
do anything
life.
Again.
That
and
is
I'm just like, but
life.
What are you gonna do with all this, like, what?
Right, it's really strange, these people, because all they've known all their life is boxes. So
and expensive heavy machinery.
And expensive heavy machinery and getting paid really well to move boxes. So it's kind of like, what? I can't even think of anything to equate it to.
Homeschoolers?
No, it doesn't seem that way because a lot of them are in college or they were in college, And it's like not quite blue collar enough because you're not outdoors. There's not a lot. It's not like union labor.
Yeah, you're not like,
I don't know. I can't.
It's above field work.
It's kind of like a sophisticated blue collar. It's like a little bit higher on the ladder of from blue collar. I don't know.
It's no collar. We
it's
wear
no
t-shirts.
Collar. Yeah,
we just wear t-shirts and workout pants. That's like when you
that's
get,
something to talk about.
When you get
way,
fancy, you wear jeans.
The way some of these people dress to do their job, holy crap. Like, a lot of them are college students, so they're wearing, whatever they wear.
Like basketball shorts or...
In college, yeah, basketball shorts, cargo shorts. But some of the women, there's one who wears the tightest pants possible.
They
and
were
like
leather.
A crop, and a crop top, leather pants, crop
leather
top.
Leather leggings.
Gigantic hoop earrings.
That could...
And hair all done, makeup. What are you doing? Like... This ain't the fucking ball
there is
you're at. You're moving dirty boxes.
There's actually a rule against, like, baggy clothing. I'm
right,
because like,
otherwise it would get cat caught
so
in something.
Easily get snagged off.
Yeah,
out.
I put boxes, like, sometimes I carry a few boxes at a time, and my badge gets caught in between the boxes, and I yank it off.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, God, what if someone's, like, fucking earring or, like, piercing got caught in that? What if someone had a nipple ring and it, like... You clamped it in between two really heavy boxes and slammed it down. You'd lose parts of yourself.
He swears he did it on accident, but one of the full-time 3Mers shipped his badge on accident because it got caught in between two boxes.
Oh my God.
And he shipped it, and that's what, he told them that's why he lost it, because, like, you don't get a new badge. Like, they make a huge fucking deal about losing their badges because of security, and they had to wait until they got his badge back.
Before he could start working?
Before he could, no, he still worked.
Oh, okay.
But, like, they didn't make him a new one. They had to get it back. Like, hey, one of our operators shipped their badge to you. So when you find it,
big
we
mistake.
Really need to see you to send it back to us.
Yeah, it's in something we sent you. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be stuck in between some tape. So. stuck on a label.
Yeah, the way some of these people dress are crazy. But some of it's pretty standard, you know, like trucker hat, t-shirt, maybe some camouflage.
There's a guy who wears a baseball hat that says punk rock gangster on it, and he's like covered in tattoos.
He's a terrifying buff, man.
With a mustache and a shaved head.
He is a terrifying
he
man.
He wore a shirt that just said hard on it.
I remember seeing that.
I was like,
and he was just standing there with his just stoic, angry face. He looks like the kind of person who would just walk around with a fucking shovel. Just a steel shovel that he just fucking nails someone with it and buries them. And then he's just like, that's just what I fucking do. That's my Thursday. Every Thursday, I go to the park, fucking nail someone on the bike path. Bury their ass.
Steal their bike.
Steal their bike, their hat, their shirt. I wear them all.
I burn their money, though. I don't need that dirty shit.
I'm not materialistic.
I'm not doing this. I got my own cash. Okay? I'm
against capitalism. I got a full-time job. Moving boxes. And people wonder why people kill people. Okay? That's why. Moving back, we're future. You're listening to Future Homicidal Maniacs.
No, I will never be here long enough to be a homicidal maniac.
No, absolutely not.
Never.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's our little prank we're working on. We have a prank.
You can even consider that a prank. It's really more of a social experiment.
That was very long-winded, completely just derailed conversation about this prank we want to play to ourselves, like on with ourselves. It's like a little game. It's like a game.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Our supervisor's pretty cool. She's terrifying, though. She's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
She's scary.
I cried in her office once. And I think
I'll be good, I swear.
Yeah. Because I had a little incident thing, and I didn't. The other person drove away, so I just was like, I don't know. What do I do? Like I'd worked there for a couple weeks, and I just was like, well, he drove away, so I guess I'll just drive away. And then Shannon came up. Sorry. Well, they came up. But, bleep it out, whatever. She came up to me the next day, and she was like, did someone hit you? I was like, yeah, I didn't know what to do about it. And she just was like, oh, God. This kid, Timmy doesn't even know he's working.
The ways some of these accidents happen at work, because we drive these, like, mobile forklifts, so, like, personal little forklift things, we call them tuggers. And we drive these things around, and... Like, it's impossible to hit someone. It's open air. It's like you're not in something. There's nothing obstructing your view. How do you fuck? You go 20 miles an hour,
it's like
max.
A scooter.
Top speed. It's probably not even 20. It's probably like 15.
Yeah. It's like a scooter. You have full... you can literally stop them in like less than a second.
Yeah, like, you just pull on the handle and it stops.
Or
like,
you can press the button, or you can disconnect it. Like, there's so many ways.
You could do any of these plethora of things
to not hit someone
or something. And I see it all the time. A friend of ours was just recently in a tugger accident. I say that out loud, believe
tugger. I love hearing people bitching about not getting a good tugger that morning. Like, yeah, I'm one of these shitty tuggers.
Ariel and I are qualified for tuggers.
I'm licensed.
Licensed tuggers.
For tuggers.
Right here.
By OSHA.
Call us 1-800. Give a good tugger.
Tuggers. For safety first, guys.
For safe 5S, completely certified tugging. Yeah. You see what we have to deal with? Wait a minute. Ah, shit. Do you have your badge on you? Do you have your license on you?
It's upstairs.
Fuck. Okay, the next episode, I have to read you the it's our license for the tugger. But the tugger isn't the only piece of machinery that sounds like a sexual thing. Every single one There's about 9 of them. Every single one sounds like a sexual position. Dude. Like, the zappy is one of them.
The battery changer.
There's just a few of them that are just funny sounding. I'll bring it next time. Next time we'll do that.
They're so funny.
Yeah.
And, like, you just say it, and you're totally unaware of what's going on, and then you step back, and you like, that's how I noticed that the name Tugger was weird, was last summer I worked there, and then I was talking with Tom about it, and then you just stopped, and you're like, wait, Tugger? Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, right?
Because we're there every single day, and we catch ourselves sometimes just making inside jokes about this place, in public, just around other people, and sometimes I realize, like, these people have no fucking idea what the hell I'm talking about. Like,
yeah,
it's such an integral part of our society. So integral. Like, think of anything in your house right now.
Anything that you bought at Walmart.
Yeah, anything that you bought at Walmart, anything that you buy for, like, going away to college stuff, this company probably distributes it. And if that one doesn't, then another distribution center does it. But it's like, and it's like an integral, mandatory part of our 24 society.
24 hours a day. And there's 3 different shifts, and each shift has at least, like, 100 people on it, at least. Yeah. And then there's the whole, that's just the warehouse, that's not even the administration.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's a whole other sections of the building that are just cubicles, like, a whole room of cubicles.
Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable.
Yep.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so what we do. And, I hated it at first. I hated it so much. It went like this. I was really excited, then I fucking hated it, and now I'm really, like, come to accept it. I went through the 5 stages of grief with this job.
Yeah. I'm just greedy, so I'm always just like, woo, money! Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I need time to myself. I need to relax for, like, an hour extra.
Because
I'm a bigger dude. I need... Okay. To get my momentum going.
Okay. If you're not comfortable with your size and you need time to talk about it every morning before you go to work.
This is my confession.
Yeah, this is my intervention.
I see. Well, the tables have turned, haven't they?
They've turned a couple times now.
Yeah, we actually spent this beautiful day just going to the pool today.
We actually
did stuff today.
And we did stuff yesterday, too. We went.
We kind of did stuff
bothered
yesterday.
Our friend at work.
Yeah.
Which we should interview him about his job.
Yes, he works at, I think we could say him, Applebee's.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get in trouble for that. If we do, fuck you. Fuck you, Applebee's.
Well, no, we are.
What? Anyway, yeah, we're gonna bring him on. I don't know when.
Whenever
he's not working.
We have other people that have jobs that we know.
Yeah,
okay?
Just the thankless jobs people do, and waiters get it rough, man. Waiters get it rough. I used to work in a banquet hall. Shit was bad. Shit was bad.
Oh my God.
I worked as a busboy, a server, and, like, the teardown and setup unit of this... every single weekend, and it was from, like, 6 to 3 in the morning, which, you know, wasn't terrible, but for a kid in high school, you know, wants to go hang out with his friends, I couldn't do any of that. So, not that I had friends in high school, but I'm like, if I did have friends, it would have been like that.
Yeah.
but yeah, I had to, so dance floors in banquet halls, heaviest motherfucking things I've ever experienced in my life.
I worked
deceptively heavy.
I worked for a theater company, and before and after every rehearsal, when there was other things going on in the convention center, we had to tear down the dance floor and put it back on, every fucking day.
That's something I never knew, and I think a lot of people don't know this about dance
floors.
They're
hard, like, they hurt your hands if you hold them wrong.
I want to say they're, like, 3 feet by 3 feet, probably a bit bigger. Oh. Squares is what we had.
We had
some things.
They were smaller. Like, they were maybe like 2 foot by 2 foot.
Oh, okay.
Squares.
Well, I was in like a big banquet hall in a hotel, so they were probably, you know, different. But they were huge, and each of them weighed probably 200 pounds. Like, that, not even. Not even 200 pounds. It was probably more like 180, you know. I don't know. It was really heavy. It was really fucking heavy. And we had to, you know, slide them together and then use this key to, like, crank them together so they don't separate. And, you know, we set them all out and we had this huge, like, cart that you're supposed to slide them all in. Like a, you know, napkins and a napkin holder. And we had to push this thing from the room to the little storage area. I felt like I was on World's Strongest Man. This was like a competition. It was rough. It was hard. Yeah. And then you had to take it all down and put it all back and every day. And then every, like, all the tables, because, you know, certain weddings and banquets want, you know, I want 14 tables.
Yeah.
I want 6 bars. That, granted, I had a really cool night working this thing. I was working a biker wedding. The wedding took place in the same room that the reception took place.
Oh, great.
So, yeah. So they had the wedding.
Easy turnaround.
All of them were in jeans and leather jackets. Oh, a lot of them were huge, just fat, huge dudes with just big lunchbox hands. And they're just, you know, the meanest looking guys with giant beards.
Nice.
And, like, typically we have 2 bars, one that you can set inside the banquet and one you can set outside the banquet. And they requested 4 fucking bars. We had to bring in 2 other bars from different hotels just to do this. So we had a 3 inside and 1 outside. And it was they paid for it all up front. It wasn't a paid bar. And these bikers, man. Then, in fact, they were the only group to ever tip me. Because typically, aww, you don't tip servers at a banquet hall.
Yeah.
But some guy, like, flagged me down at one of the tables I was working at, and he's like, here you go, man. You're doing a good job. And he gave me, like, 5, like, I think 10, 15 bucks, something like that.
Nice guy.
I'm like, dude, why can't the foreigners do that? Why doesn't the Polish wedding give me, like, any fucking money? They don't even... Did you like more wine? Tak, yes. Okay, thanks.
More wine.
Crazy.
That
was a different day job. Still applicable to what we're talking about here, alright? Mm-hmm. Deal with it.
Bikers do, like, crazy nice things that not everyone knows about. Like, Baka. I was reading, one of my mom's friends at home recently joined Baka, and you have to get, like, your fingerprints taken. Mm. They have to do background checks and, like, prove that you're good with kids and all this stuff. Or not good with kids, but, like, you're not gonna mess with the kids or anything. And I was reading,
and they're sort of like guardians of whatever town they're in.
Yeah, and they're like, so we won't, like, we don't condone violence, but, like, we will do anything to protect these kids. They actually say that. I read their brochure, and I teared up a little bit.
Yeah, I remember, so, and sometimes they go and induct a kid, in quotes, you know, and they give the kid a jacket or something.
Yeah.
Like a kid who was bullied or something, and they would go up to the kid and be like, all right, who's the person that said it? Okay, well, it's never going to happen again.
And they go up to the kid.
And they go up to the kid and they're like, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and they're, like, super, like, scary about it. But it's just... it's the funniest things. Vigilante groups like that are, like...
But that, and then
insane.
It works so well. Like, you ask the kids, and the kids are just, like, so they're not happy eloquent about it. They're just like, yeah, it's fucking great.
And they have, like, most of the...
I'm not scared of anything.
Right, right. And it gives them confidence. And not only that, but it also gives them, like, kind of a father figure to look up to, because fathers these days are fucking awful.
Yeah.
You know, I it's just a topic. It's just something
that
happens.
We just threw that out there.
Yeah, we just threw that out there. But, because, you know, and it's nice to have sort of an outside, almost, like, other entity that seems higher than, you know, on the hierarchical chain of important people. You know, it just got this aura about them that is just like, God, thank God for these guys. I feel really safe. I have something to look forward to. I was just telling Ariel about how much I love 70s talk show hosts like Johnny Carson and like everyone who did Family Feud. Those guys, I want to be those guys. Those are like my influences of my life.
They're so great.
They're so unbelievable, conversationalists, completely handle yeah, anyone.
Like, the most charismatic people you've ever
exactly,
met.
Exactly,
I listened to the Nerdist podcast with Alex Trebek. It was amazing! It was so... When he realized, like, basically after he had, like hundreds of millions and millions of dollars, one of his accountants were like, you know, if you donate stuff to charity, then you don't have to pay it on taxes. Mm-hmm. And he was like, really? 50 million donated. Boom. Like,
holy crap.
He basically was just like, if people want to do good with my money, that's great. I'm going to choose where it goes. He has like a scholarship foundation where
good
he gives
like
guy. Full ride scholarships. It's insane.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
And he was so cool to talk to. Like, just, yeah. I've never, like, who would think to do that? Like, interview a game show host. But
right.
It was amazing.
That's another thing that's just non-existent these days, I feel like. Right?
We have, like, Steve Harvey. And that's
right.
It.
We have, like, the Family
Feud. And Jeopardy still goes on.
Jeopardy's still on.
Like,
I think
49
The Price is Right, Drew Carey is still doing.
Drew Carey and Wheel of Fortune, too.
And Wheel of Fortune is still a thing. But you don't, like, the one with the married couples. Fuck, I can't remember.
Like the honeymoon, Hollywood Love Connection?
No. It's like where they have a married couple on and one, they answer a question at the same time.
Yeah.
I can't remember the fucking name of that show. But I guess what I'm trying to say is they don't have hosts like they used to have them.
Yeah.
They're these really charismatic people. They tend to be just like ex-actors now.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not like, I want to grow up and be a game show
like,
host.
Remember
Who says
deal?
That?
Remember Deal or No Deal?
Yeah.
That was the weirdest. I still don't understand what was happening when that came.
For the longest time, I didn't know the fucking rules
and
to this game.
And everyone was losing it over the market. They're like, would you call the bank? Would you call the bank? And people were watching it like,
no deal! No deal! And it was so, like, at breakneck pace. So it would just cut to him on the phone, and then this guy in the shadows on the phone, like, I'll offer you $16 million fucking dollars for that briefcase. And the guy's like, I want that fucking briefcase! And the audience is like, no deal! And you're like, okay, I need a cigarette to... And I just slow this down.
That guy is a judge on the X Factor now. Like,
Howie Mandel?
Yeah. He's judging other... He parlayed that game show host job into judging other people.
You know he's a germophobic?
What?
Yeah, he, like, doesn't like when people touch him. He was the host...
Do you know this from personal experience?
I know that...
Was he at one of your Polish weddings?
I go to give him some wine. He's like, hey, man, whoa. That's a little close.
You accidentally
You're
brushed
in my bubble.
His shoulder because it's really tight seating.
Yeah.
He takes $5 out of your pocket.
Fuck you. And then he dips it in a cleaning solution that he carries with him. He was the host of...
Deal or No Deal.
No, I know Deal or No Deal, but after that it was America's Got Talent. And one of the kids that performed, like, went up to go give him a high five or, like, a handshake or something. And he's like, oh, and he, like, kind of panicked. And he's like, what? Don't fucking touch me. And everybody, I think Sharon Osbourne was there at the time. And she's like, don't. And Howie's finally just like, I'll give you a fist bump, right? Okay.
And then he immediately was like,
bad touch. Hand off.
You know that's fake because someone who's really a germophobic would know how to handle that situation.
Right.
This isn't the first time in your life that someone's tried to high five you. You know what to do by now.
Come on.
Or you wouldn't be a germophobic anymore. You'd be like, yeah, fucking high five, man.
He'd lick his palm and give me a high five.
He'd be like, lick my palm.
Spit in my mouth. Fuck the high fives.
Cough in my...
We'll be saliva brothers.
Make out.
Make out. Lick my tongue. Put your tongue on top of my tongue.
Girl's Life said it would feel good.
I'll squeeze them with my fingers. I'll squeeze them together. Maybe put them in, like, wrap them. Tie them together.
Little spit bombs. Throw them at each other. Across the class.
He's a germaphobe. But yeah, he's a weird host as well. He's a weird guy.
Yeah.
And back to Deal or No Deal. I'm just trying to reel it back in, this whole derailment. I don't even know what the hell. But he...
Kevin Smith told me to make a podcast, so I'm doing it, okay?
Yes. Yes, we are. Deal or No Deal. Why?
That show.
And I remember everyone fucking loved that show.
And wasn't there a spinoff to it, too? I'm pretty sure there was multiple versions.
Right, they themed it, too, for, like, Halloween, where they had all the women next to the suitcases, like, dressed in Halloween outfits.
And this person is losing his mind, and back to how creepy Howie Mandel is, he's just, like, laughing hysterically.
He's like,
smiling at the person, like,
are you gonna push the button?
Are you gonna lose all your money? Yeah, you know where it goes? Back to me. Follow the money.
These fun... Conspiracy. 9/11. Follow That's how it happened. Howie Mandel, you are responsible for 9/11.
And then he shakes their hand and he leans in and he goes, Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
Waves at the camera.
Yeah, I believe
that.
And
that person shoots himself in the head with a shotgun.
I believe that. Hey, and you know what? Two people just said it really confidently, so it's true. So you know it's true. Howie Mandel, member of Hydra, orchestrated 9/11 using Deal or No Deal as a distraction. It was a distraction from what was really happening. You ever notice how the news would cut short and then Deal or No Deal would come on? Isn't that fucking weird? Conspiracy? Definitely.
Definitely. Snopes. Eat on this.
Loose change. Loose change, you had it wrong the whole time.
Suck the
steel
dick.
Girders? You kidding me? Howie Mandel. He's the guy. Hey, Howie, if you're listening to this, we'd love to have you on the show. We'd love to have you here to talk about your day job. Whatever that is.
His day job is a hotel maid. While he's also working as a part-time game show host.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
judge
He polishes
people.
Brass, is what I heard. That was the most God. Obscure job I could think of. You know, besides picking and moving boxes. Full circle, we're back!
Okay, we need to stop this now before this gets any shittier.
I actually thought it was going really well.
Oh. I'm not as confident as you are.
I'm always confident. That's, you have to be confident. This job teaches you confidence. And how to talk about other things when you're trying to talk about the main thing you were trying to talk about. Okay, well, this has been Day Jobs. I'm Tom.
I'm Ariel.
And see you next time.